Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This episode sponsored by Hume. You're eating clean, hitting your workouts, doing everything right. So why does the scale still look the same? Because weight alone can't show fat loss, muscle gain, or real progress. The Hume Body Pod changes that. It tracks 45 body metrics like body fat, muscle mass, hydration, and visceral fat, so you can actually see what's happening inside your body. With 8 sensors and advanced multi-frequency technology, it gives you a full body breakdown in seconds, right from home. You can even track progress by body segment, arms, legs, and core, so nothing gets missed. And inside the app, you'll get personalized insights to help you adjust and improve over time. Stop relying on a number that doesn't tell the whole story. Go to humehealth.com and check out the Hume Body Pod.
All them dogs are counting down, about to put the anchor down. Hotty toddy, who's it gonna be? Cowbells and swamp, the ag is wrong. There's nothing like the SEC.
All right, you know what that means when you hear that at 2 o'clock every single day. Yep. Our next guest, normally it's Thursdays. We're not doing a show tomorrow as everybody gets geared up for Thanksgiving. Paul Feinbaum has been nice enough to slide to Wednesday, the day before, and he can be heard every day 2 to 6 here on ESPN 94.9. Paul, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Until about 10 minutes ago, it had been a pretty quiet morning.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Boy, well said. We started off the show and quickly went in a different direction. And let's just start with I need your input. I don't know if you have a law background or not, but typically when these games get they because of COVID issues, they either get postponed or canceled. Well, we've got a new level. Cincinnati and Temple have pled no contest. Does that mean they were thinking about taking a plea? Were they thinking about pleading guilty and decided to go no contest? What happened there in that game?
Yeah, the Latin term they use in court is nolo contendere, and I have no earthly idea. it's funny, the AAC reached out to us and probably every other show in America to get the commissioner on today to plead Cincinnati's case, and he may have a hard time, and he is an accomplished lawyer.
Yeah, that is a good point. So, okay, let's just start there quickly before we get back into the SEC. We watched their game, or at least I did, against UCF. That game was big game in the middle of the day on Saturday. They came back. They won. A good win. But here the rankings come out. They're seventh. What do you really think of the Bearcats? Do you really believe that they should be taken seriously and be there at the end if they go undefeated?
No, I don't. I mean, I think they're a really good team, and I've watched them a couple of times as well. And I mean, they have everything they need except a really quality schedule that's necessary. No way of getting around that, and unfortunately for them, I don't see any way that they can make up for that. Even you start quibbling Cincinnati in there over a one-loss Texas A&M, a one-loss Notre Dame or Clemson, I don't think so. So, in the end, they'll make a good run, but even this week missing a game is not going to help them because they need to be seen and they need to be evaluated.
Tell us which opportunity makes more sense to you or has a real shot of happening, because we're about to see a first on Saturday in the Iron Bowl. It's not just the Iron Bowl. It's a first since Nick Saban has been the head coach at Alabama. We've never not seen him on the sidelines when they play a game. So do you think Butch Jones has a better chance of moving up from being an intern to the head coach for a day? Do you think Lane Kiffin takes a day off, slides over there, goes to Alabama and coaches this game? Or do you think Rich Rodriguez finally comes home and coaches that game at Alabama? He finally accepts the job. Which one do you think has the best shot?
Well, you know, the funny thing is Rich Rodriguez in, I think it was 2006, accepted the job.
Right. And, oh, yeah.
Paul, I was with Eli Gold. He and I were broadcasting a Nashville Predators game at the Staples Center in L.A., and he got a phone call, and he turned to me and he said, "I think we got a football coach. Rich Rodriguez. I'll never forget it. I was sitting right in the press box at the Staples Center. Unbelievable.
That Friday morning, I was on a local show, and we were talking about what a great coach he would be, and then he backed out. I think it's Butch Jones, the answer to your pop quiz. Because, you know, how long can a, 50-year-old man be an intern?
That's what we were saying. Like, how long is, like, isn't there, like, a statute that has run out? Like, you can't be an intern that long, can you?
Yeah, and not getting ahead of ourselves here, but it's very possible that the man who took his place is going to be sitting next to him pretty soon as an intern at Alabama if he's not careful.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll move in and slide into that office space or whatever they have carved out for that position?
They have, like, desk chairs. Like, remember when you were in fourth grade?
Yeah, usually they or they had the makeshift ones out in the hallway. That's usually where they put me. So in all seriousness, what is this going to look like without Nick Saban? Do you believe it has any effect or any impact on the game, in your opinion?
I don't. And I think in the Georgia game it did, because Georgia was a more formidable team. But what happens here is, Steve Sarkisian goes right back to the spot that he would have been in 7 or 8 weeks ago. And I think at this point in the year, that was the fourth week. I mean, we're now, ninth week of on track. I think Alabama's in a much better spot. And the game against Auburn is big on one level, but Auburn's in trouble. They have a couple of major injuries, and I really just don't think it's going to be a competitive game. And much will be made. I mean, it's deja vu all over again here, but he is, I guess arguably the most high profile person to have COVID in sports, now that he's had it technically twice. But I don't think it will have much impact. I think the first time around it may have, because Georgia, it's hard to believe I'm saying this, but Georgia came in there into that game with a lot of momentum. I mean, we actually respected Georgia back then.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum. You got one more, Darren?
No, go ahead.
Paul, I was thinking, too, along the lines of Georgia, that with JT Daniels playing the way he did the other day, and it was shocking that they had to work so hard to beat Mississippi State, but did they miss their chance of inserting the right quarterback? This is all hindsight, of course, but he certainly looks way more talented than the other guys they put out there.
Yeah, I think they did, and now the only question is, whether they could have done it much earlier. There's still some mystery to me about JT Daniels and whether he was ready to play. I know he's been cleared, but there's always that lingering question out there about the other that he had a second opinion that did not give him clearance. So I'm really not certain of that, but. Once again, Kirby Smart is going to be called into serious question on the quarterback situation. And there's no getting around it. I understood the decision years ago to stay with Jake Fromm. Everyone seemingly did at the time. But right now, this guy's got, he's got two losses, but it seems like it's a lot worse than that. And by the way, I mean, I don't know how they ended up getting in the top 10. Last night, that has not been a really good. I mean, that team barely got by Mississippi State, which was playing with. I'm not even sure they had 50 scholarship players on the roster Saturday night.
Wow, Paul Feinbaum is with us, SEC Network, ESPN. He is brought to us by MTGRT.com and Gary Force Acura.
I think it was 46, by the way.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, they of all the schools this year that could have said we're not playing, they could have easily said it. I mean, they were significantly under the number, and which makes me you wonder how they played their best game of the year since LSU. But that's a hard team to figure.
No question.
Maybe they were fearful of getting called chickens. You never know.
So
that's why I won't call them that now.
No. What do you think of Dabo? What that whole back and forth? What Dabo Swinney and Mike Norvell? What did you make of that?
I was entertained by it, and I think you have to try to analyze Dabo on a less than intellectual level. And I think Dabo is just back to being us against the world. He doesn't care how he finds an edge, he finds one. And he stood up for his team, a little bit like Dan Mullen a couple weeks ago in a completely different set of circumstances. Players respond to that. Dabo has never talked about COVID with the same level of attentiveness that epidemiologists have. And you know, it goes back to even to the very beginning of the pandemic. And I just think he views everything through the prism of football. And I don't know why Florida State didn't play the game, because there's been no evidence of transmission on the field. And I think they just decided to stomp their feet. I'm as concerned about this pandemic as everyone, but you know. Right. Very few people in college football have seemingly cared to do anything that anything about it. They didn't have to. So I found Florida State's reaction to be, you know, less than genuine too.
Paul Feinbaum is with us, sort of tied in to the last couple questions with the rankings. And most of the time, I sort of just blow off the first rankings. But they did have a lot of pieces to the puzzle to put together, with some teams playing three games and others playing a lot more. I guess we're not really surprised at all about the first four. Anything in the table setting that the committee told you that we should be looking for? Because as you said, the SEC did very, very well with Texas A&M, Florida, all in the top, Texas A&M, Florida, and Georgia, all in the top 10.
Yeah, I thought you're right. It's not particularly relevant, the first one, because there's so many cubes that have to be dealt with, and in the top five or six, a couple of rematches coming up. You have Alabama, Florida, and Notre Dame, Clemson to be determined. But I clearly think there's a path for the SEC, and I can't remember when the SEC has had three schools alive this late. Now last year, Alabama was technically in it until they lost to Auburn. But I mean, it's pretty remarkable that the SEC is in this position, and so is the ACC. So I thought that maybe the Ohio State snub was the most important, because you know they were basing that on number of games played. I still don't think Ohio State has much to worry about. But the weirdest footnote of the season, I think, right now is that that Northwestern controls its own destiny. I mean, that was not a school I had really high on my list when we were convening for the season a couple of months ago.
Yeah, how about that? They are very solid, not spectacular, but they keep winning, that's for sure. So, Paul, let's get to Vanderbilt. Intriguing story. We're all watching Nashville's soccer team pull a big upset in the MLS playoffs, and the story is unfolding from the student newspaper that the kicker from the SEC champion soccer team has had to come, the goalie from the SEC championship soccer team has joined the football team because they apparently have some quarantine issues with the kickers, who were doing pretty poorly anyway. So very intriguing twist to a pretty interesting story. I wonder where it goes from here.
Well, thank you, number one, for letting me know that Vanderbilt was playing football this fall. It is intriguing. I say that jokingly. For a team that's going to go 0-10, unless it beats Tennessee in the final Saturday of the year, they have played pretty hard. I say that with admiration and respect, because I was fearful before the season that Vanderbilt would have an impossibly difficult time even finishing. They were going to be so far down on numbers. But I'd say good for them. I haven't seen the kicker very much, but it can't hurt, can it?
The one guy that has kicked has gone 3-for-7. They had another guy opt out, and the highest recruit hasn't been in a game yet. So that tells you what they think of him. They had a male soccer player that kicked extra points for a couple of weeks. So it has been, they've had a list of things, as you know, Paul, as you just got done saying. They got a lot of problems besides the kicking game, but that has been one that's been particularly bad. And I guess they've got some issues as to with either contact tracing or positive tests, where all of the kickers are in jeopardy. And so they had the goalie who was there, like the rest of the student body. It's not like they'd have tryouts, from the student body. They're all home. right? So this could be a really intriguing situation. And of course, it's never happened in a Power Five game before.
Leave it to Vanderbilt to make college football history.
Well, at least they have an option with her there. She's a pretty good goalie.
Can you play quarterback?
Yeah, do they have any quarterbacks? That's a great question.
Speaking of that, as we wrap
something today.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of that, let's end with this, Paul. They were supposed to play each other, of course, Vanderbilt and Tennessee this Saturday, and that didn't happen. If they do indeed still play this season and Vanderbilt wins that game, what do you think that does for Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer, who gave him an extension before the season even began?
That's the doomsday scenario. And if you're a Tennessee fan, you're going, I hope we end up going 3-7. I mean, because losing to Vanderbilt and be in 2-8, let's see, right now it's at 5 losses. It will likely be at 7 unless Tennessee upsets either Texas A&M or Florida, which, you know, would be pretty significant wins. If Tennessee ended the season on an 8-game losing streak, which I think would mirror the 8-game winning streak,
yep,
I think the odds of Jeremy Pruitt somehow surviving that would be questionable, because, you know, right now I think everyone's saying he's going to survive, and I tend to believe that. But you lose to Vanderbilt on top of everything else, I don't know. I mean, that would be – he would literally burn his last goodwill card. And right now his last goodwill card belongs to Philip Fulmer, because I don't hear a lot of, you know – I mean, I think it's gone from, you know, average to bad to worse to now it's, you know, can we just get to next year? But that might be, I wouldn't want to say the final straw, because I don't know if it's even that bad, but that would be cataclysmic.
Yeah, the quarterback situation is really just, that's the one that everybody's having, like, what are you doing? Like, you keep saying Garantano gives you the best chance to win. In the last 2 weeks, Garantano hasn't been able to give you a win, because you've been playing the freshman late in the game because you weren't going to win the game. So if that, you know, what are you doing at this point whenever you know you might as well just see what the freshman can do? You're not saving a season. This season is lost. It's gone. So I don't know. That's one that's probably the most perplexing of all, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, and it just shows you that, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is just trying to camouflage the disaster that is this season. I think if he had just pulled the plug a couple weeks ago, and you don't have to say it, but you could let people know we're planning for the future, at least that gives people hope.
Yep.
He hasn't given anyone hope.
Yeah, well said. We're thankful for your visit. Have a wonderful day off tomorrow and rest of the week, and enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Appreciate you doing this.
Thank you, guys. Always enjoy it. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, you too. That is Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and mtgrt.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase here on this rainy Wednesday, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.